Okay, guys. This is Winfrey, and I thank you for checking in. This is Don and Win Show, and tonight we're going to do a little different format. Of course, we do a little different format every week. So I happen to be in Palo Alto, and we're doing a workshop, which I don't even know what the workshop's about yet. So we are, like, winging something, and my workshop is scheduled for this period of time. So while I'm doing the workshop, I am just going to have myself on the air. So make pretend you don't exist. Actually, we got people ambling in right now. Are you going to stay for the workshop? You can. Okay. Well, are you, I know, what's your name? Maria, come here a second, Maria. Say hello to our radio audience. Maria, say something about yourself.
Hello, radio audience.
You're not gonna, are you shy?
Yes.
Are you very shy? Are you single? Now I'm being like Howard Stearns. Okay. You're married? You're engaged. My God, you were sitting across from me and you were flirting with me all day. No. You were intrigued. Okay. Not by me, by my book and stuff. Okay. Okay. Well, okay. Well, listen. I'm going to see you later. We're on the air, right? We got at least three people listening to us. We got... All right, guys. Come on in. Yeah, yeah. We're on the... Your friend is coming too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Just to tell you, while we're waiting for everyone to arrive, just to tell the people that are listening, if you're tuning in for the first time, I'm the principal author of the book of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and while I was writing the book, I had this experience with all these interdimensional communications, and you can go look up Conversations with My Girlfriend and read a bit about it. And so I've had a lot of questions and answers and a lot of unusual experiences. And so I'm up at an expo here in San Francisco, in Palo Alto, and I gave some lectures this afternoon, and then I'm doing a workshop this evening. It's actually at least from 6 to 8. And I told Don, well, maybe we'll just do a replay, and he said, why don't you just put your workshop on the air? So we're trying that. And we'll see how it goes. I have no idea what's going to happen. So we're in for an adventure, okay? Is that wow? Is that exciting? You know what? See, this is an interesting thing. One of the things is like now we're sitting here, and no longer do we just have the three of our consciousnesses together. Nothing happens. Everything changes everything, okay? So by doing this, it's not just like they're listening and we're here. They're here too in some way, shape, or form. I mean, their energy fields are coming in. So we'll see how that works. Now, what is your name? Now, anyone can say that they, you're not shy, are you? If they know your name is Sally, it's okay. Okay. All right. And you live in Palo Alto? Pleasanton. God, I want to tell you, for those folks, Sally has one beautiful smile. Next time we'll do this on television. And your name? Ken. And Bob? B-O-B? Instead of B-O-B. Okay, that's Bob. And Bob read my book and really liked it. And you guys... You're getting it today. You didn't read it. Okay. So, whenever I do this, if I have everyone that's read my book, I can talk about, more advanced stuff. You know, I kind of, gauge how to, approach something where it's valuable to everybody. Now, I think one of the most valuable things of my experience that I've had is watching something and then being able to talk about it, and then watching it, being able to talk about it. And that is, how does interdimensional contact work? How does it really work? Everyone wants to know, they want to have that experience, and you know, and it's not common experience, even when we know it's real. I mean, when I read Edgar Cayce years ago, I said, man, I want to do that. And I had not a clue how to do it. And so because of my experience, and because I'm kind of, how would I say, I guess I'm analytical. I go into it, and then I look at it, and then I go into it, and then I look at it. And I'm also skeptical. I keep saying, am I imagining this? Am I making this up out of my subconscious? You know, so I keep running everything back on myself to see if it holds together. And certainly when it first started happening, I would have never talked about it to other people. So I have now kind of made a cosmology for how it works. And so, you know, is that a good thing to explain? That's of interest, because now everyone gets an idea of how it works, including our listening audience. So one of the things has to do with dimensions. What are dimensions? What the hell are dimensions? Now, let me say, I'm speaking in my own words, and I'm not speaking as an expert. I'm speaking to someone that's had vast communications with what's called group souls that are in other dimensions, and I've tried to integrate this in my own intuitions. So I'm speaking from, sometimes if I'm speaking something they say, then I will say, this is what they say, okay? Otherwise, I'm speaking from my own intuitions and me putting it together. So time is a variable. Time does not exist. And we exist in the third dimension, and we experience time fixed here. We don't experience it as a variable, except our experience of time is very variable. Now, when we exist in the third dimension, we also exist in other dimensions right now, except we're blocked. There's a veil where we cannot perceive the parts of ourselves that exist in the other dimensions. So we have to connect to it indirectly. Now, existing in other dimensions means existing in realms where time is moving at a different speed than it moves in this realm. And if time moves at a different speed, our physical vehicles are not designed to perceive time as it moves in those different speeds. But we can have an experience of it nonetheless. Did you ever have an intuitive flash? Like you had a problem, you thought about it, and then suddenly a day later the answer to the problem popped into your head? You now have engaged your other timelines. You have put the timeline, you put the problem out. It started to work in other levels, and then it popped back into your head as an intuition, right? That's a little example of it. Another really good example, and now I'm telling you things that I never heard other people say. This is me figuring this out, is that the parts of us that exist in other timelines can meld and connect with the parts of other people that exist in other timelines. So we are always, to some degree or another, more or less feathered in with other beings in other timelines, other parts of ourselves. Now, how does that look? How does that feel? For example, you go to a movie. Do you know that if you sit in a movie and watch a movie, particularly a good movie, you are now connecting your energy with all those other people in the movie. And time moves at a certain speed different than the experience of time feels different because you're connected your energy in a good movie. If you take that same movie and watch it at home on a videotape, it doesn't happen, okay? You don't have that, you know, that merging of energies. The actual merging of energies doesn't take place in this dimension. It takes place in a place where time moves at a different level, okay? So therefore, your experience of time is different than your experience of time in this dimension. The more your energies are melded and merged with someone else, the more your experience of time changes. You have great sex, really great melding of energies with another being. Time moves, God knows, you know, you don't even know time exists, right? You go into great pain, and you totally, your energy contracts, no connection with anyone. Time moves exceedingly slow. Now, you know, linearly, it's the same time, right? The clock is moving at the same time, but yet our experience is totally changing. So you see, we are all accessing into things interdimensionally all the time, and we never even think we're doing it. We don't think of it that way, okay? But if you start to, like, intuit the way I'm describing it, how things move, in other, how we exist in those dimensions, and then we, like, you go into a city where the people are proud of the city, and they create a great feeling. Everyone in the city has taken a bit of their soul energy and combined it with everyone else to create a city vibe, okay? And people walk in that city, and they feel that city vibe, and they're moving at a different level in their experience. You go into a city like, I won't say LA, for example, but you go into the cities that have, you know, sometimes they have little neighborhood vibes, but the city has a pretty cacophonic vibe. There's no, you know, it's just one bit mishmash. And so, you know, people go there and say, oh, God, when do I leave that city? You know, when do I leave that town? So you see, we are constantly in this huge multidimensional universe, and one of our reference points to it is our experience of time and how it feels and how fast time is moving. And everyone is saying, how do I make time move better, or how do I have a better time, right? And we only do that by moving into the parts of ourselves in other dimensions where time is moving in different rates. Then we have that experience of that, and we're in a different experience of time down here. Does that make sense? That's a really interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? Like, I've never heard anyone describe it that way. Huh? Yeah. So, now, guess what else exists in these other time realms? The very group souls we're talking about that are part of creation. Spiritual people talk about something called the eternal now. You ever hear that term? The eternal now. Well, it's like where time stops. And so, at the very highest level of evolution, there's no time. And then, it fans into all of time from that place. And these group souls, or the, you know, there's all these higher dimensional beings, or beings on different timelines, okay, that we are on those timelines. You see, we just don't visually see it, but we know when we're there. Now, you know, when I talk about this stuff, I've learned their energy, oftentimes, my experience is that their energy comes into the room, and we can experience their energy in the space. What happens is we meld all our energies together, and they meld, they blend with it. They need enough energy to find us. I asked the question once, and they say, we can see the light, this light energy. We can see it. I don't know if they see it the way we see things, but they perceive energy. They can look down on the planet and see where light is happening. Now, you know, we are creating that light because we're creating a vortex in the space just by combining our energies. Now, why is, you know, we're doing that, but it doesn't always happen. In fact, it's not that common an experience. Do you know why it's happening here? Because here's another key, big key. I intend it to happen. And the key there is not the me, it's the intention. Intention is the thing that is our control rod into the other realms, into the other dimensions. And I've described this like a car with a gas pedal, which controls the engine. And you don't have to know there's an engine under the hood to know that the gas pedal makes it move faster, okay? You just have to know that the gas pedal and the brake and the steering wheel and everything else takes care of itself. Well, intention is like the steering wheel for other dimensions. And why do synchronicities occur? Because it starts out that we have an intention. And that intention starts to move into other time levels. And those other time levels start to, the part of us that exists in those levels starts actually working for us. It's like sending something out to do a job, okay? Just like when you have a problem and it comes back as an intuition. I mean, you're in relationship to all those levels all the time. And so when you send an intention out, then that becomes a very potent force on other levels. Now, there's a trick here, and, you know, when you talk about intention, not all intentions are positive. People can intend negative things. People can intend black magic. They can intend curses. Now, in some of my interesting conversations with the Elohim, because I say they blend with us, they only blend with intentions that are for the highest good of all concerned. They don't blend with self-serving intentions or curses or black magic and all that stuff. So one of the reasons that prayer can be so effective is because the dark forces still can be effective because they have the same power. They're individual pieces of energy with intentions. And they can join together with others to create negative intentions. But they can't join with the group souls. So the group souls only join with things of highest good and you know, positive intent. So that's why a few people with high intentions can change so much stuff on this realm, even when it looks hopeless. You look at Gandhi in India, okay? When you have high intentions, you have assistance. You have support. I mean, I didn't talk too much about group souls, but these are just beings in other dimensions. They just happen to be so powerful and so that we have taken them to be God throughout our history. But they're not God. They don't say, I mean, in their current conversations, they say it's irksome to be worshipped, and they basically say our best case scenario is to be companion, and we're there to be your companion. And so you see, they are really intelligent. They exist. Their consciousness. It's not like God is a woo-woo concept. It's like a part of your consciousness that's in this other dimension that you can have interchange with and get to know that they're there. And so one way is through intention. When you put an intention, like, you see, I've had to, like, carefully observe myself after, you know, in the past few years of having this experience and monitor myself because I started to learn how important intention was, okay? And I said, I'll give you an example. Somebody in my position, I said, geez, people are going to adore me for doing this, okay? Let me go out and have people adore me, okay? Or, geez, I'm going to be able to run workshops and charge $100 a day like all these other people do and make a mint, right? Or it's like things that are of a lower nature, okay? Not that they're bad, but not the same as having, I'm going to be an example of how to connect this energy from other dimensions into this realm. And then I'm going to let those other things be subservient, things that happen as byproduct, not to be focused on as an intention, okay? Like it would be like if a guy is looking to court a woman, right? Is his intention to really uplift the life of that person, to contribute something to their life, or is his intention, when do I go to bed with her? Okay, because you see, now if his intention really is to uplift her life, the chances are he'll end up going to bed with her, right? And it'll be a great experience. But if his intention is, when do I go to bed with her, it's probably not going to end up good, okay? Not necessarily, unless she has the same intention. But you see, the higher intention creates a higher energy in other realms. That's then we build. See, the way you really make a better quality of life is to have a consistent group energy over time in another realm. Because now, instead of going to the movies and say, I feel good, now I go home, I feel bad. Now I go to the rock concert, I feel good, now I go home, I feel bad. Now you have a momentum energy that's over time of two people communing in a relationship. And that creates a better time. Time moves at a different rate for those two people. And why do people like to be around people that are in love? Because it rubs off. Because it's not their love, it's their energy fields. Because if they're really in love, their energy fields radiate to everybody. And everybody feels it. And it uplifts the entire environment. So, if this is the way it works, then it becomes each person's challenge of how do I experience better time, okay? Or better parts of me moving in other dimensions, okay? How do I do that? You know, well, the first step is intention. Intend to do it, okay? Intend it. That's the first step. You know, I ask the question, I'm talking about something that I asked a question in one of the channelings when I was first started, when I first having these channels with Elohim, and I said, when somebody hears that the world is upgrading and it's moving to this higher dimension, which, that was part of my talk earlier, that we're in a dimensional shift. That means time is going to start moving at a different speed here, and we have to be worthy or ready to access that new speed. I said, what are the things they can do to upgrade, okay? How can they change where they are to where they want to be? And this is at a time when the first few months I was doing these channelings and having this communication, and I was just floored by the wisdom in their response. I mean, it was, that's a really big question, and you could answer it in volumes probably, but they answered it in about three or four sentences, and they said, first there must be vision. Then there must be intention, and then there must be persistence. They said, first there must be vision of what's behind the veil, what it would feel like, then the intention, and then persistence, which means once you know it's possible, then you intend for it to happen, you don't give up, okay? You persist until you get it. And say, for example, it's like if you look at everything you do. Like when I started doing these talking like this, the first time I talked publicly, I just talked about my book. I said, in fact, I talked like an intellectual guy, making the case for David Wilcock being Edgar Casey, because that was safe already. It's like even David, in his talks, at least as of the last time I heard him, he prefers talking about the scientific transformations about the solar system. And because it's safe. It's all verified by science. Now, you know, I found that I could do it and I would be very interesting, but I was also was bored. I said, man, this is like, why is it, you know? And so gradually, I started to weave in these other parts of the story. And as I did, I saw all the energy change in the room. I saw, you know, to get to the point where I could talk just in the moment and make it up as I went along and have the faith that it would work out and that I'd say the right things and that people wouldn't feel gypped because they spent the time, you know. It reminded me when I used to play music, you know, I'm a really good songwriter. And this funny thing happened is like I would rehearse my songs and the most exciting time, even when I was playing good songs, was when my string broke because I had to make it up. It's like suddenly everyone knew that I was there and I was totally vulnerable and what was I going to do next? And what I did next had the more energy than all my great songs because it created a bonding. And it's like people's energies would come to support my uncomfortableness. It's like I remember, you know, I've gone to see concerts. And, you know, when you feel somebody that's shy and uncomfortable, it's like you reach out to them. It creates a real energy. That's another thing I found. I used when I used to play music. I mean, that's a whole story upon story I could tell you. And I used to, I developed really funny, entertaining songs. For those that are on BBS Radio listening tonight, sometimes Don plays my songs, and they're available there. You can go to CD Baby and listen to them. And I had all these sensitive songs, and then I ended up playing in bars, and nobody would pay attention to me. So I started writing these really raucous songs so I could get people to pay attention. And then I found that I could play those songs and always get their attention easily. So instead of being vulnerable, I would go up in front of an audience and start doing those songs, and then I couldn't be vulnerable. It cut my ability to be vulnerable because I established myself in a comic kind of way. Whereas if I went up in front of an audience and we all went through this uncomfortable initiation, then we would have this group energy shift things. See, the difference between entertainment and creating a group consciousness. Creating a group consciousness causes time to move. Now, entertainment is not bad. In fact, entertainment is part, there's a group consciousness connected with entertainment. And then I started to say, well, here's the difference between this and entertainment. You know what the difference is? I can stop talking and you won't get bored because the energy will keep moving. Whereas if I was entertaining you and I stopped talking, or actually go into meditative state if I stop talking, right? Let's do it. Are you guys in blogging ready? We're going to just take a minute and see if the energy keeps going. Now, we could probably do that for 15 minutes. I mean, if we didn't have a group energy, everyone would be restless. I mean, I would be restless, you know? But we're sitting in that energy, and we don't have to do anything to sit in the energy. It just keeps going. We've created it. Now, I've catalyzed it, but you guys participated. One person could have stopped it from happening, and I would have had to, like, take this in a different direction, okay? I mean, one person could have insisted. I have all these questions about this, and I have questions about that. You know, it could have turned into, like, me being an expert on answering questions. I probably wouldn't have done it. I probably would have said, I don't want to do that. But, Now we've actually broken the nut on what grace is, okay? Because there's a very big connection between what we're doing here in terms of group energy and the Christian concept of grace. Now, the deal is, we all have what you could call your shadow side or your dark side. And it's not to judge that. It's just to know that that's part of being a human, okay? There's a part of us that's fearful. There's a part of us that's horny. There's a part of us that's lonely. There's a part of us that goes into, you know, unworthiness, right? And oftentimes we, like, go into all these processes to get us through those things. And it's like an endless job because it's patterns that just keep coming back, right? And we think we go to psychotherapy, we go to Scientology, we go to, like, exorcists, you know, it's like, you name it. And it's like working it from the bottom up. It's like, it's karmic. It's like having to go extricate each little bit of negative. Let's suppose we've had millions of lifetimes or thousands of lifetimes or hundreds of lifetimes. Well, in all those lifetimes, we've created certain imbalances, and we're sitting right now in the imbalances of all those lifetimes, okay? And so then we can start to think, well, I'll never get this to change, or I'm sitting in that imbalance. When we create a group consciousness, we are like lifting ourselves totally out of those things. They're not there now. We're moving in a different time zone. Those things are in one time reality, and this other consciousness is in another time reality. So therefore, you've created a new reality system or a new time system, which is operating at a different level than where all those negative things are. And if you can hold that system, you can change everything. How do you hold the system? Well, you can go like, probably to create ongoing circumstances over time of an extremely high intention. Okay? In other words, for example, I have the intention of creating things that are going to cause other people to get to like experience these other dimensions. So I'm having a conference call every Monday. And people said, let's do it every day. We like this. So now I don't really want to spend as much time as on Monday, but if two people volunteered, they're doing what I do on Tuesday. And then we're doing it every day for like 5 to 10 minutes, just having a group energy. And, you know, it's a really interesting phenomena because as we do this every day, we're building it. There's some days where you feel like the other people. And when you look at a person, you start to know what's going on inside of them. You can feel them. You can feel how it feels to be them. And this is like experimental. You know, I'm seeing how it works, how it goes. But I know that if I took my life 5 years ago and my life now, there's things I'm operating totally differently now than I did 5 years ago. I changed a lot of patterns in my life. Still continuing to change them. It's like, so creating high actions that have a very high intent to them, create an upward flow of energy. Creating actions that have a high intent that create group energies with other people, create an upward flow of energy, okay? And understanding that one's negative side does not necessarily drop away instantly. If it's something that's had millions of lifetimes or thousands of lifetimes to create, it's not going to go like that, okay? It'll be like it'll prevail and then go back, and it'll prevail and then it'll go back. But the cycles will be like, you know, diminishing sine wave, and understanding to be patient with yourself. And creating relationships with other people of a high intent. I think I said this before, but I'll say it again because it's not easy. This is a challenging thing to do. And, like, again, I've been experimenting watching our conference calls because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm threading in areas where I don't know how things are going to work. So it's all, to me, it's like a big experiment. And said, "I see. How do I take this experience I'm having, talking to group souls that are able to energetically connect into this realm? How do I use that for the benefit of others?" Okay. Now I wrote a book. So that was one way. Then I said, "Well." I asked them, I said, "If I do a conference call, can you be on it?" And they said, "Yes." So I said, "Okay. Now, I don't believe this. It's true. I just said, I'll test it." Okay? So then we start doing conference calls, and we read a channeling. And then at the end of it, we call in the light. And then I noticed that the people on the calls are getting really friendly with each other. They're like keeping talking to each other after the call's over. They're staying on the conference line, and they're chatting with each other. And then they're getting their phone numbers after a while, and they're getting to know each other, people that would be normally, like, reserved, or, and they're developing a real rapport for no reason. I mean, nothing to gain, except this is a neat thing we're doing. And then somebody volunteered, you know, to do something, because I think we should share this with other people. So you see, it's positive intent laying on top of positive intent, laying on top of positive intent. So builds an energy up here. And then it allows that thing of grace, which Jesus called grace, but it's not, you know, I'm saying it in a more, less woo-woo term, because who knows what grace is? God's grace, okay? You know, who knows? It just means we're building energies in other dimensions that are higher than this dimension. And then they step down into this dimension, and things, see, if you're going to manifest anything in this dimension, you can, the sweat of the brow means do it all here, okay? Grace means manifesting it up there with a high intent, and then it kind of leaks down into this realm as a creation from the etheric, and just everybody gets the idea, oh, this is the way to do it, or this is what's happening. So, am I talking about what I'm supposed to talk about? Let me see what time it is. 6:40. I'll stay on this topic for another 10 or 15 minutes, and then I'll get off this. And you know, I've done this in the past, and that is, done a workshop where we go into people's shadow side. But I don't like to do that on the radio, because you don't know what you're going to say, and we don't want the world to hear it, right? It's between us. But it's a good thing. See, the good thing about doing that is people feel guilty about their shadow side, okay? And the guilt makes the shadow side more strong and more prevalent, okay? So we all have it. Shadow side is part of everybody. I used to think people were perfect, and that you know, like the Dalai. For somebody to be having the experience that I'm having, I have to think they'd have to be the Dalai Lama. And, you know, I said, I know, you know, part of the reason they picked me to have this is because I understand all the shadow stuff. I've had my lifetimes as a crook and lifetimes as this. And I've had my exalted lifetimes and other lifetimes. And so it means that I don't have to, like, be holier than now. I can understand really well the whole spectrum from higher dimensions to the underworld, so to speak, okay? And so I don't have to, like, exclude anything in working with people, and neither do they. And so it's a great way you can process stuff. So the way the big game works is we have this reincarnation, right? And the way they describe it, it's very hard to get people out of this realm. Very hard. And I mean, I've had answers, and I don't know if they're true, but, you know, thousands and thousands of lifetimes. And it's like, then we have these epic things where you have, like, you ever heard of the planet Maldek? Maldek exploded and became the asteroids, okay? And then Ra, who's the group soul speaking through David Wilcock, moved the souls from Maldek to this planet, okay? This group souls do stuff like that, okay? Because otherwise, they wouldn't have continued the revolution. And if you read some of their stuff about it, there's things like they were, how do I put this? The souls were fragmented because they had a big nuclear blast or something, and so they had the Neanderthal man was their way of bringing these fragmented souls into this realm and evolving it so they could get their full human characteristics back to work out their evolution. So you see, it's the caring of these group souls at that level that makes sure that things persist and people endure at this level. And so Maldek was one example of great tragedy. Mars was another one. Atlantis was another one. Now I'll tell you a piece of breakthrough information. Now, I've never heard anyone say this. No way in the world that I can validate it, but I asked the question, and here's an answer. When these planets have great catastrophes, particularly atomic catastrophes, atomic catastrophe, nuclear, is the worst way to die. The reason is the explosion is multidimensional, and it fragments your soul, and it takes a huge amount to get the soul back again in its matrix, completed. And so what happens is fragmented souls from former nuclear catastrophes attach themselves to the completed matrixes of beings that are complete. And then when we come in for an incarnation, those fragments become part of our basic self. And they're actually impacting us with some of our more base natures, like jealousy, lust, whatever. And it's their way of screaming out to be noticed. Now, I never heard anyone say that before. And I don't know that's true, but that was an answer to a question. Well, you know what? What happens is sometimes they become a tangled nest of stuff, and even the good ones. Now you see, if you're really interdimensionally connected, not just good or bad, but interdimensionally connected, then I believe that the group soul would take you out of your body before you fragmented and protect you. But you have to be connected to them, okay, to have that happen. And even a good person would get fragmented. And once you're fragmented, you're like, you're compressed and you're stuck and you're trapped. And the thing is, the way it is you don't even know you're a fragment anymore. You're just part of somebody else's matrix. And they don't know that they've got a fragment part of their matrix either. And so, how do you solve it? Well, I hate to call them parasitic because they ended up in a tragic circumstance, okay? Yeah. And so, I mean, they didn't choose to be parasitic. This is something I'm still learning, okay? This is like new information that I'm still processing. I mean, I've never, ever, ever heard anyone say this, okay? I asked, how about exorcism? They say, that's not a good way to do it. It's not very compassionate. Let me see what time it is here. Not compassionate for the entity, and oftentimes it'll come back or just attach itself to someone else. They said, loving it. Loving the part of yourself that's that way. Send packets of love. I said, this is where I'd like to go get the channeling, because I haven't integrated this information where I understand it directly. send it packets of love, send it, talk to it, like individuate it, so that way it starts to recognize it exists. And it's like, if it gets to the point where it knows it exists and it can communicate and hear you, it will leave and it will continue its own evolutionary path. I asked that. I said, does this other piece still exist? And they said, no. They said, but its intention can cause it to recreate its matrix. It's just like the memory of the matrix, just like in DNA can grow an arm. The fragment still carries the memory or the keys to recreate its matrix. So, you know what? I don't want to say yes or no. I think it's yes, but I mean, it's like, I don't know why I brought this up, but it's a fascinating, huh? Yeah, it's a fascinating concept. And it, you see, when you start to look at the long haul of evolution, I mean, you know, they're outside of time. So what's a million years, more or less, right? You know, they say, well, you know, we'll work with that person. We'll go through with them, you know, until they make it, you know, even if it's another 100,000 lifetimes or whatever. You know, that's why they exist. They exist. That gives them a reason to be, okay, to actually be of service to this realm. And so they hold the space of no time so that this realm can evolve. Now, another interesting thing is that this realm, you know, I said that there's an evolution, and some people go to one planet, and other people continue. The Earth was an experiment where people that were cycle repeaters on other planets were all taken to the Earth. So Chinese people are from one planet, black people are from another planet, and it was an experiment that failed, because normally, this is in my book, different people, different planets go all to the same place, okay? And so now there was all this attempt at how do you uplift this level, and all these volunteers were coming in from the other side. Then the volunteers would all get lost, because once they're here, there's no reality system to support their original reason for being here. So now they try to come up with schemes of how do we keep the volunteers from getting lost. It's been a nightmare for them, okay? Because in one of the conversations with the Elohim, they said, we keep a group up here that never incarnates because we're afraid all of creation will fall into gross repeating cycles, okay? And because the people that incarnate here don't get out. And worse than that, they get self-serving, they get empowered. And then, why does the negative persist? Because the people in power try to organize reincarnation so they keep coming back in power and in control. And so we have these huge negative agendas that keep trying to persist, keep the persistence of class structures and everything else. And, let's see, it's 6:51. I got another 4 minutes. And, so we're in this very challenging time right now. And each of us, the big thing about the challenge is, if all this is true, and if we're in a dimensional shift, the biggest service that we can do is find those people who are still on the verge of going one way or the other and give them what they need so they change their path, okay? So, you know, there's a huge amount of wanderers that have come in from other dimensions that have came here with a high intention of uplifting this planet and have gotten lost here. And it's like, I've gotten to the point where I can recognize them, okay? I can walk up to somebody. You might try. I mean, I walk up to somebody or a telewaitress. Did you know you're from another dimension? And you know what? They always say, I can feel this relief. Somebody finally noticed, you know? And the things that other people like to do, do you? You're not interested. You know, they just want to care for people. They just want to be loving. And do you know, like, people, kids, young people with ADD, as a symptom of an interdimensional person, because they have so much, pardon me? You know somebody? Yeah. They have so much energy, and they get bored with the things in this realm because they didn't program themselves to do those things. And so their energy just eats them up. They can't pay attention. I mean, I probably have ADD, okay? I mean, if somebody's going to diagnose me, because I have the most difficult time doing certain mundane things. Yet, you know, I mean, you know, you do too? Yeah. ADD, okay. So, you know, and then people judge themselves. They think it's something that's wrong with them. Instead of recognizing they're from another dimension and they came here to be of high service, you know, the most important thing we can do, A, is, now, here's one where it keeps coming back, that these group souls can intervene in this realm and they can stop things from happening and they can stop certain, but they need people reaching for their energy. They can't do it just to be nice. If the negative agendas cause people to go into fear, they have to back off, okay? Because that cuts the energy, even that allows, they need an access hologram to get through here, okay? And so the more people that reach for their energy, now you don't have to know it's a group soul. You can just love your neighbor. It's one way to get to it, okay? More people that reach for that energy, the more interventions they can do. And it's real. And like I said earlier, they don't support the negative. They only support the positive, or the, you know, the higher stuff. Like the Ra group, supposedly, in one answer, and I don't know if this is true or not, I'm just telling you, one answer, 5 billion souls, okay? It's a huge amount of energy that will come in and support a positive prayer, okay? Elohim, something like 5 or 6 million souls, okay? Now, again, a huge amount of energy. So when we do these conference calls, we call in the light, and we put things, we ask them to send their energy this way or that way. And, I mean, if I didn't have conversations with them all the time, I'd think this was woo-woo. What am I doing, you know? I mean, I've never been religious. But, you know, we do it, and things happen. And it's like the conference calls are really powerful. I'm telling this for the people that are listening. The conference call is one of the most powerful things I'm doing. Anyone can email me, and I'll give you the information, and you can partake of it. And you'll contribute something by creating to the group energy that's requesting help, and you'll get something out of it because we read their channelings, which are incredibly, incredibly wise, okay? So, Don, are you on the line? Well, it's 6:56.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Are you listening to this, Don?
Yeah, I've been listening to it.
You're not supposed to listen.
Pardon me?
You're not supposed to listen.
All right, well, I'll let you wrap it up. We have Dr. Bell coming up here soon. It was a wonderful show. Fabulous, guys, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you wrap her up. Great show.
Well, oh, yeah, you call in the late at the end of the show. Don, are you there?
I'm still here, yeah.
I'll just call in the late. So what we do calling in the light is like doing a group prayer, is formalizing. It's actually putting in words the formalization of the intention to create a group of energy and access to the higher groups, okay?
Okay.
So I end the show with Father, Mother, God, we ask John now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person present, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We ask for the support of those interdimensional sources, service to others, to work with our energies. We see each other envisioned in light. We see even those people. around the world that are listening to the show. They can shut their eyes. They can feel this energy in their rooms, in their spaces, and know that they are helping to heal and anchor the grids of the planet. And we give support to those interventions of the group souls to help our planet get through this period of uncertainty and disarray. And while we have this energy present, we can also put anyone we know in the healing light and ourselves in that way. Having me do this on the air.
Absolutely. Glad. Thank you. Thank you. It was fabulous. And to our audience, stay tuned. Of course, we have Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show coming up. So stick around.